At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No, 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 no!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to our show. So, just wrapping up last night. Couple
now
canipple things.
Free.
Yeah, no con canipple talk for the rest of the week.
All right. I can get on board with that.
No, that's not true. Because we'll have some Final Four talk later in the week.
That's true.
And we got to talk about Khan.
He may pop up.
So last night we were alerted that Steph Curry may be making history.
Yes.
He did not.
No.
He only scored 52 and only hit 12 threes.
Lame.
But
yeah, he had 11 when the alert had popped up.
Yeah. Well, he had. Yeah. Was it 11? I thought it was like 8. Well, but he did it early.
When I saw it, he had 11 when I started seeing kind of Twitter blowing up.
So the big number is 14.
Yes.
Because Klay Thompson hit 14 threes in a game. That's the record. And Steph's got a billion huge three-point games, but never the record for the most in a game.
Yeah.
So he's been kind of hunting it. And he even admitted last night that he was trying to go for it. He finished 12 of 20.
Yes.
But he got upstaged by Jokic, who had 61.
He had 61, and they lost. Although 61 in double overtime. Meh. Mm. And then did you see Westbrook S the bet at the end of that game?
Yeah.
I mean, my God. Miss a free throw that would have sealed it, and then you blow a layup on the other side after you steal it, and then you foul in the corner. I mean, that's like one of the all-time boners that you could have at the end of a game if you're Russell Westbrook.
Look, it was a good...
ruining a 60-point triple-double from Jokic.
61.
I understand that, but it's 60. He scored 60 points.
61. It was a good night in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's rare these days. I also looked at it today. I was looking at the playoff matchups. You know the Warriors and Lakers would play in the first round if it ended right now?
That'd be fun.
That'd be great.
That'd be a nice little series.
Steph v. LeBron?
If Ja Morant and his boys don't shoot Steph Curry first.
You can't shoot... With your fingers.
So the NBA is actually investigating. I don't know what sort of investigation you need. We all saw him do it. I just, in a league where you're not allowed, no one allows you to do any sort of gun or violent celebration, and you've been suspended because you pull out real guns and have been accused of pointing real guns at a team. Remember, like, was that 2 years ago? Him and his guys apparently pointed a gun with a laser scope on it at the team bus.
He's had a couple of different gun things.
Well, he can't go on Instagram without pulling a real gun. And then the dumbass last night, as he's leaving the floor, double gun points at Steph Curry. Good one, Ja.
You know what he was shooting at him with? Some freedom seeds.
Those were freedom seeds, yes.
You see that?
I did see that.
The J.D. Vance shooting freedom seeds all over the place.
He was down there. Was that over in Greenland when he was shooting?
Freedom, why are you looking at me like that? You haven't seen seeds. That?
No, it sounds dirty.
Oh, yeah, no.
No.
That's the new administration's term for bullets, freedom
seeds. So next time someone shoots up a school, they just say, hey, someone's just spreading some freedom seeds around a school. Cool term, everybody.
Yeah, they put out a tweet, or what do you call it, on X. White House.
I still call it a tweet.
Just the Vice President of the United States sending some freedom seeds downrange.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't get more American than that.
Never mind. I'm going to choose to not comment any further on freedom seeds. I just know that if you're Ja Morant.
I love that term.
And by the way, against
America, again, yeah!
You just fired your coach. Apparently the team hates each other. There's all that internal turmoil.
He's a moron.
And now you're about to get suspended possibly again for finger gunning someone.
He's an idiot.
Just stop.
Yeah.
He is a moron.
He's a total moron.
That dude
has that's probably why the coach got fired, because he couldn't handle that guy.
That dude has the world at his fingertips, and he will find a way to screw it up.
100%. So Shams was on Get Up this morning, and he said, I thought it was a funny headline. He said, because the Suns, you know, Durant's hurt now, and the Suns are just, a mess that was.
They suck.
And Shams basically said, whichever team gets to the playoffs and realizes that it's only a Kevin Durant away from winning,
mm-hmm.
will get Kevin Durant.
Mm. Well, Phoenix doesn't
off season.
Phoenix doesn't have anything to.
He even said, he said the Suns are going to help usher him wherever he needs to go.
Yes.
So basically, our idea a couple years ago was that Kevin Durant should just go to a new team every year.
Yeah.
And just like hired gun.
Yeah, 1 year.
Like random free agent every year.
Be awesome.
He's basically that this year. And I don't know who that's going to be. It might be the Lakers.
Wouldn't that be something? The ultimate redemption story is Oklahoma City bows out and, like, let's say they get to the finals, they lose to Boston. That's the ultimate one, is Oklahoma City, who's got 8 million picks, they deal for Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant goes back to Oklahoma City and leads the Thunder to their first
title.
That'd
be cool, but I think, well, I don't know that it would be cool. I think people would. That's the one way to make people hate Oklahoma City.
Is by bringing in Kevin Durant?
Yeah, because I remember we've talked about this before, about it, you know, like the only way that he could sort of resurrect his legacy.
Yeah.
Because our topic a couple weeks ago was, has there anybody that has there been a better player in sports that has torched their own legacy worse than Kevin Durant?
It's about as bad as it gets. Maybe like a Clemens or something, but I mean, it's a masterclass in going from when he won that MVP, you can make the argument that he was as liked a player as anyone in the NBA. And now,
no one likes him. Yeah, it's just he has torched his own legacy so very much.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about that, the one thing that came up that where he could maybe get it back is if he took Oklahoma City to a title. But the more I think about that, I don't like that, because Oklahoma City is now, what, they've won 62, how many games have they won?
They are 63-12.
Yeah. Dude, they're 63-12.
Yes.
So if he goes to, I mean,
including
come on.
10 in a row.
If he goes to a team that's already won 60, it's going to win 66 games in the season or whatever.
Yeah, well, how about
and then carries him to a title, nobody's going to like that. It's the Warriors all over again.
Then we'll do another one. A team, the second best team in the NBA or in the West, Houston Rockets, who, if you've been sleeping on Houston, Houston's a fun little team and on the come up, but again, probably has to take their lumps a little bit. He's from DC, but he played in college at Texas. Go to Houston then. Go to Houston and lead those guys to an NBA title.
What about the Blazers? They took Odin over him.
I think maybe we're
he comes back.
I think we're a couple steps away. But say what you, I mean, Kevin Durant's like 36, 37. The dude is still just an automatic bucket getter. So
yeah, no, he's going to help somebody.
Cleveland could work, maybe, if Cleveland can't get over the hump.
But I tell you, whoever
what if he went to Milwaukee and teamed with Dame and Giannis,
whoever he goes to,
yeah,
people will instantly hate.
I won't. I'm kind of over hating Kevin Durant. I want the redemption story.
Hmm. That's nice, but I don't know that you're going to get it.
Mm. I would like to see, because I know Kevin Durant has done a lot of this to himself, and by a lot of it, I mean all of it. But I would like to see Kevin Durant have the redemption arc, because I don't think he's a bad guy. he's just sensitive. But I also don't think he gets the credit he deserves. Like, it bothered me when he went to Golden State. He was the best player on that team. It wasn't Steph Curry. I get that Steph Curry was the engine that drove that thing. But the two MVPs in those finals were Kevin Durant. And had he not gotten hurt, they would have won three in a row. Kevin Durant did not ride anyone's coattails to an NBA title. Kevin Durant was as important as any player, and I make the argument the most important player on those two title teams. But we all crapped on him. And yet his ego couldn't handle it, and so he had to leave. And
You know why they crapped on him, though. I mean,
I know.
Come on. He was the best player, but he had to go. The problem that people had is he had to go to Golden State,
yeah,
a team that had already won multiple championships, to win a championship.
Yeah.
And then he has the audacity to leave there. That's not good enough for him, and he has to go somewhere. And then those torpedo, both Brooklyn and Phoenix.
Oh, in the worst possible way.
And people are laughing.
Yeah.
And I get why.
I know. That's why I said.
So nobody wants to see him.
I do. I am not saying that Durant does not deserve the hate. I just would like to see it for what I think is truly one of the great players that I've ever watched with my own two eyes. And I love watching him play. I would like to see him get one that kind of just, like I said, I like redemption stories. I think those are fun. Like, we love to crap on everyone in sports. That's what we do. We love to tear people down. It's kind of fun when someone gets to come full circle and go from being the ass to the, you know, I'm not going to say he's like liked, but appreciated. I think those are good stories when that happens.
All right, coming up next, it is time to begin MLB Underboob.
At this point, now we've delayed it. Someone says we're at full boob at this point.
Full boob. Full frontal.
Full frontal.
Next on The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, now to MLB Underboob. We've got a lot of baseball.
Let's do it.
We've got a lot of stuff here that has been piling up. My notes are lengthy regarding the baseballs.
Well, we have been pushing it off now for...
Yeah.
Well,
the season has started, and we haven't really talked about it yet.
No.
And they're already seven games in, and the Padres aren't going to lose, and neither are the Dodgers.
The Dodgers are actually statistically off to, like, the best start in Major League history.
Well, for a champion.
For a champion.
Yeah, they're 7-0?
I think 7-0, and the numbers that they're putting up, they're just...
That's the best record for a World Series champion to open a season since the 1933 Yankees.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if you know about the 1933 Yankees, but they had a guy by the name of Babe Ruth.
I've heard he's pretty good.
On the team.
Although I would like to point out, your San Diego Padres.
7-0.
7-0 and have a better run differential.
They won again today.
Plus 25.
Padres, Dodgers in the NL West. It's going to be wild.
Let's do it. The plucky Giants are sitting there at 5-1. Look out.
What was I going to tell you?
I don't know.
Oh, we have to start with pants.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. I saw these today.
So there's a guy by the name of Dennis Santana who pitches for the Pirates. He's their new closer.
The Pirates.
And, boy, I got to tell you, man,
yeah,
he has taken some liberties with his baseball pants.
Well, they're not really pants.
Well, here's what it sounded like on the broadcast today, because he pitched today. This was from today.
Yeah. Baseball pants or shorts?
They look like shorts to me.
That's like almost mid-quad.
So if you didn't see, you got to look it up.
Yeah.
Dennis Santana, it is almost mid-quad. His pants are at least 3 inches above his knee.
Yes. This is like, I want to say it was in the late 70s, early 80s, the White Sox for a brief time. They wore little softball sliding shorts. That is what that looks like. And it makes it awkward even more so in that he's rolling them up. Like, you would think that he could just get someone to hem those pants for him, but... It appears that he has rolled those up himself, and then he's wearing like knee-high socks and then with spandex underneath. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like he's bare-legged.
No. I do like the socks. He's got the pirate socks with the bridge on it. The socks are a good look.
Why does he do that?
It's alarming. I don't know.
Because Hunter Pence did this, but Hunter Pence, he had his pants like just over the top of his knees.
Yeah.
This is even further.
Yes. Well, I will say that if you've paid any attention, the kids are bringing back the short shorts. The NBA guys are going with the short shorts. NFL players are wearing these and pulling them up over the knee, and now it's made its way to Major League Baseball. Because for a while there, you know, the Manny Ramirez's and the CC Sabathia's, they was to have big fat pants, and you would cut the elastic out of the bottom and they would hang like below your cleats. And now we've gone the other way. We have the Walker Buehler tight pants, and now what's this cat's name? Martinez?
Dennis Santana.
Dennis Santana. Yeah, we've officially started the cool kids role.
I want to play this again because I love the old guy.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to
do. Did you hear? Yeah.
Baseball pants or shorts?
Look like shorts to me.
That's like, look like, that's like almost mid-quad.
Look like shorts to me.
I guess there's no rule how to wear your pants in Major League Baseball.
Apparently not.
You know?
Who knew you could make a new bat? And you could wear your pants like that. Yeah. What is going on in baseball?
Well, torpedo pants and then hot pants, or torpedo bats and hot pants.
Torpedo bats. The torpedo barrel, by the way, in the news again today.
Yeah. Did you see that there, are you talking about the Stanton controversy?
Yeah, the Giancarlo Stanton controversy. So the torpedo bat, which we have yet to talk about, it is the, it's straight out of the why didn't someone think of this sooner department?
Yeah.
Because it's a great idea and it is working.
Yeah, so someone did some analytics and found that the ball never really hits off the end of the bat, and if it does, nothing good happens to it. So they just moved a bunch of the weight and the wood from the top of the bat further down. So it starts skinnier, gets fatter, and then goes to a regular bat taper. So it doesn't look like a traditional bat, hence it looks like a torpedo.
Yeah, and it's created by this MIT physicist who now everybody is lauding. His name is Aaron Leinhard, and they call him the most interesting man in baseball. He is on the Yankees payroll, and he created this. And the Yankees, by the way, not every player uses it.
No, Judge doesn't use it.
Well, Judge doesn't need it.
No,
because the idea was to bring the barrel to the area where the hitter makes the most contact.
Yes.
And it started with Anthony Volpe, or whatever his name is, the shortstop for the Yankees, because he was always getting jammed.
Yeah.
So he just moved the barrel of the bat, which is perfectly legal. The only thing you have to have for a legal bat is it can't be anything over, I think, 42 inches long, and the diameter has to be, at its thickest, the diameter has to be within a certain number.
Yeah, because when
it doesn't matter where the barrel is on the bat.
No, because there is some rules. When I was going, apparently we all became rules expert. There is a rule that you could interpret that the bat has to have a uniform taper, but it's not really. It's kind of the way you interpret it. And so Major League Baseball said this is fine, and these have actually been around for a while.
Yeah,
they just said that a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, when this happened, no one was really interested in them.
Right. All it took was a couple players to start having some success with them.
Yes.
And now it's blown up and guys are asking, like Ellie De La Cruz uses it. Mm-hmm. Adley Rutschman is using one.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys now, but the Yankees, they have 17 home runs in 4 games. Yeah. That is a Major League Baseball record.
Well, they had one series where there were like 2 games where they scored like 30 runs. Like it was insane. So, I mean,
I think you mean obscene.
Obscene. Yeah. It's obscene. I'm waiting to see, like, how much of this is legit? How much of this is you just, like, De La Cruz has one hot game and now, oh my God, he's doing this. Well, he's a good player. You will get guys that have breakout games. So
still got to hit the ball.
You do have to hit the ball.
But it does make sense because they study where these guys make the most contact. This isn't just, oh, I think I get jammed a lot, so I need this bat. No, they run the numbers in the cages multiple times, hundreds of times over, maybe even thousands, maybe even millions.
They've never seen anything like it.
And
it's amazing.
So they know which guys would benefit from this bat, and the guys that would benefit from this bat are using it, and it is,
But I would point
out, it makes a ton of sense.
There was an article in The Athletic saying that, again, people have been using these for years, and it hasn't made this ginormous difference. So let's wait more than 7 games before we start talking about that there's a revolution here or that it needs to be banned or, you know.
Well, yeah.
Again, Aaron Judge doesn't use one. And last time I checked, Aaron Judge is still hitting the living hell out of the baseball.
Well, but Aaron Judge isn't your average player.
No.
That's the thing.
But also, it's not going to take an average player and make him into Aaron Judge.
I don't know. Volpe looks pretty good.
That's what steroids do.
So, Stanton.
It is interesting.
I think it's interesting, too. I mean, it's definitely, it's got baseball buzzing, I'll say that.
Sure.
The Stanton thing, and he's being a little bitch, because he's hurt.
He had two
again.
He had two elbow surgeries last year.
And he said this in spring training. His words were, I have some elbow issues from a switch in my bat.
Yeah.
He used this bat when he was doing things in the playoffs with the Yankees. He was using this bat. And he said that. He said that my injuries are a result of me switching my bat, or at least he thought, right? Well, he is now walking that way back, because that somebody picked up on that and was like, wait a minute, this is why Stanton's elbows are fried. And so he's now like, no. And now he's being a little bitch about it because he's like, well, this is the narrative. And see, this is what happens. You said it, dude. But now he's claiming that it's just some narrative that the media made up because it's more sensational than just he has elbow tendonitis.
Yes.
Right? So he's kind of, he said, so there is an idea out there that, and he's always hurt. So you can't, it's hard to, use him as the example. But there is a thing out there, a thought out there that they need to study what this does to a guy's for injuries.
They're just saying, I guess, the torque on the elbows and how hard you can swing it and all that. Like, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, the contact's closer to you. Well,
I don't know. Yeah, but it's just be careful when a player says that I was injured because of XYZ. You're not a doctor, and I haven't heard anyone else make that claim. But, yeah, and as you pointed now, he's walking it back. But, we'll see. Anytime there's like this, oh my God, this is going to change the game forever, we'll wait and see what happens. But it would make sense.
Well, I don't know who's saying that. I just think it's for some hitters, it will help them.
Sure.
It has to.
Yeah.
Because that's where they make the most contact.
Well, and you have seen bats made of different material. You see them where they now, they hollow out the top. People use lighter bats. Back in the day, you ever seen like the bats that were used like in the 50s and 60s? It was like swinging a table leg. Those things were huge. And now guys, they're using lighter bats and... games evolve, equipment evolves, and so it's kind of interesting that baseball really hasn't had a ton of innovation. Although, what was the one a couple years ago? The axe handles at the bottom, that became a thing. Instead of having the knob, there became the axe handle. Was it birch? I want to say a number of years ago, there was a different type of wood that was being used that everyone fell in love with a bit. It was kind of like that grayish color. I forget what it was, but that became, all the rage. So, here's the next one, and we'll see what happens.
Well, we have more Major League Baseball underboob coming up for you on today's show.
Mm-hmm. True story.
But it's going to have to be later, because we got to move on.
I want the flaming bat.
What do you mean?
You ever seen that where they do that with the Savannah bananas?
Yeah, just catch it or just light it on fire?
Yeah, there's like, they have a thing where I forget why, but one guy, like you can, once a game, you can call for the guy to have the flaming bat or something.
It's from a video game.
Is it a video game?
I can't remember if it's MLB Slugfest, where after you hit a couple home runs, it catches on fire, or if it was Biggs, but it's an offshoot.
Yeah, it's like something
game.
Like you light the bat on fire, and then if you hit a home run, it's worth like double or triple or something. So once it's like dropping the hammer in TGL. Light the bat on fire.
Yeah, look at you. TGL references. I love that.
Well, who doesn't love
it? The season's over. We're still talking TGL.
We can't get enough.
Drop
of
that
it.
Flag.
Can't get enough.
Billy Horschel I saw a big interview with Billy Horschel about it. You want me to tell you what he said?
No, I don't.
What?
I don't like that you're watching interviews of Billy Horschel. We need you to get a new hobby, stat.
No, that's my hobby, bro.
Sit around watching Billy. I saw this big long form interview with Billy Horschel. I couldn't get enough.
It's true.
Fell asleep halfway.
It was a long-form interview with Billy Horschel, and I could not get enough of it.
The only interview that I've ever watched in the world of golf that I found remotely interesting is I liked when Faraday had his show.
Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. Faraday did a nice job.
There's some interesting guys. Maybe one or two. I mean, Phil's interesting. DeChambeau.
Only because he's a degenerate.
Well, yeah. But he's interesting. He's a smart guy. Yeah. Thoughtful. DeChambeau's interesting, and that's probably the end of the list.
Not a lot.
In golf.
Not a lot.
I mean...
Go birdie. Tiger Woods might be the most uninteresting figure in the history of golf.
Yeah, he's not...
God, that guy's boring.
Yeah, he's not a lot to him, is there?
He likes waitresses.
All right. In the news, Seggies is next. What if there were a Saturday market for drugs?
Interesting. I think there is, but they're called homeless camps.
No, there is a Saturday market for drugs.
Is there really?
Yep.
Do you tell me where it's at just so I know?
I can and I
where
will.
To stay away from.
Right. I can and I will. Coming up next, here's Will.
Right, here we go.
What?
Oh, we're watching the Mets not beat the Marlins. It's great.
Yeah.
You paid Juan Soto how much money?
700 and something million.
Okay, well, he should probably come through right here, right?
Well, they had
10th inning,
they had first and third with no one out, and they've hit two fly balls, and neither one of them has been deep enough to score the runner. So,
it is April 2, 2025. It's time now for In the News. I am your Notre Dame newsman. Hello, thank you.
What an exciting time.
Thank you.
It is exciting. Go out.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com.
I like the new tagline. Have you been beating, have been beaten well, with a bat?
It is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
Like a good PB&J.
When's the last time you had one? I haven't had one for years.
I make one every now and then. I don't know. It's. I bet you I have, in a year, I'll go 3 to 4 PB&Js.
Does an Uncrustable count?
Yeah, same thing.
Then recent-ish?
Yeah.
When you have one, like, what do you, what's the mood? Like, you're just like, you just want something light?
Yeah, mine is a lot like if, you know, maybe like you're going to go to dinner and you don't really want to have like a big lunch.
Right.
But you got a little snacky snack happening there. You could do a lot worse than toast and some bread.
How much you pay that guy?
Don't start with me. we're moving on to the end of the tent.
The Uncrustables are nice because you can put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
And then you eat them. It's almost like a treat at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Uncrustable being just a peanut butter and jelly without crust?
Yeah, but it comes
That's the company name.
The company name.
It's never had one.
Yeah.
Sounds like a kid food.
Yes.
It's a kid food or if you're stoned, you know, one of those things. My kid likes them, my college son.
Yeah, it's a lot of times in college ate them. It's like that or the Hot Pocket.
But if you do, yeah, it's the Hot Pocket.
I remember the
PB&J.
Hot Pocket. God, but those were disgusting.
Toast some bread, like a nice Dave's Killer Bread, little PB&J. And then with like some Ruffles or something, like a few chips. It's
not a bad little lunch.
That's delightful. A little light lunch.
It is also National Day of Hope.
Oh.
Are you hopeful?
I always try to have hope.
Anybody hope is hopeful right now?
Hope is a good thing. Nervous, but, you know.
About what?
Yeah, just in general, nervous, but hopeful.
Freedom seeds?
Hopeful. That's all I can say. Hopeful.
Well, I was asking you, what if there were a Saturday market of for drugs?
And someone pointed out, isn't the Saturday market for drugs just the Saturday market?
Yeah, that's fair. Although I was down there with a couple weekends ago when the weather was really nice. We went down there.
Yeah.
And it was delightful.
Yeah.
It's not overrun by the zombies.
The BTJ, the big time Japanese father-in-law, was in town, and we walked all over the city, and that was like on a...
Did you go to Saturday Market?
No, that was midweek. It was midweek, but I'm telling you, they have done, for all the crap that our city gets, and they should, they have done a nice job. It is so much better than it used to be.
In some areas.
In some areas.
Yeah.
But we walked around a lot of the city, and it has gotten better. And yes, they have done a nice... Because we were down there on NATO... Cherry blossoms. It was a nice day. Everyone was out there. Look, I get there's rough parts of the city. It is not a needle-driven hellhole down there. It's just not. They've done a nicer job.
Unless you go to Delta Park.
That's a whole other. Same downtown.
Or right over here by us. You know,
it's not that bad. Remember when we first started?
Like I said,
yeah,
it's gotten better.
Yeah, around here it has.
I'm just saying.
But you know they're somewhere else. It's not like they've disappeared.
No.
They just move them.
Well, it's like when you clean your room. You just
like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, shoving under the bed or out that direction. If you went to the Saturday market, I'm willing to guess
it was
that
nice.
Of the major drugs, I bet you if you give me a half hour, I'm getting that drug for you. I'll get you some weed. I'll get you some blow. Probably get you some fentanyl. Maybe get you some ecstasy. I think you can definitely some mushrooms. 30 minutes, you're getting that.
I got to tell you too, man. There is not one thing down there that I would buy.
You don't need like a leather belt or some sort of metal sign?
Well, you know how it is. It's like you stroll through there and you're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I would never buy that.
No.
Like it's, oh, that's cool. That's way too expensive.
Once in a while, art almost gets me.
Yeah,
I'll be down there because like someone will paint, like someone will have like a really cool, big kind of abstract painting of the Portland skyline with like the stag sign, and you're like, man, that's awesome. And then they want like $1,500 for it, and you're like, man, no offense, but not exactly Picasso there. And so you move on.
I used to buy flowers at those.
Yeah, you can buy flowers.
Flowers?
Yeah, yeah, like if you got a girlfriend or just like. The only reason I'm there is if I'm with a girl, so
I just like the funnel cakes and the wine.
Yeah. Except, I gotta lie, I'm not gonna lie, some of the local wineries there that are like handing out samples, boy, some of that stuff's rough.
Yeah, it can be. They're like, you gotta know the right ones to go to. Yeah.
Got some toilet wine going on there, or someone's like, oh, this is 100%, you know, ethically sourced, then you try it, and you're like, yeah, no. But there's always good treats, there's usually like good bakeries down there, you know.
Yeah.
Get a nice scone.
You can play in the fountain, take your pants off.
Yeah, that's a little... That's
run around.
It's a little kid's game.
With children.
I don't think I can take my pants off. I take my pants off downtown. I feel like I'm getting arrested.
What? Federal agents arrested the owner of a Gresham property over the weekend for allegedly operating an illegal drug market. Hmm. Vendors would allegedly sell everything from marijuana and ketamine to psilocybin mushrooms, LSD, and cocaine.
Right.
As first reported by the Oregonian, Kevin Olson, who is a 46-year-old man, faces federal gun and drug charges, more specifically, felony in possession of a firearm and maintaining a drug-involved premises charge. As of Monday night, he is behind bars. Now...
Yeah, you can't do that. As much as we want to run the
drug market,
you're not allowed to.
Federal investigators first learned about the so-called Portland Sunday Market.
Oh.
They called it the Sunday Market.
How was I not aware of this?
More than a year ago, according to court documents, agents said the event was occurring around Portland, originally in Southeast. The court documents likened it to a farmer's market where vendors gathered on at a location to sell various illicit substances.
Look.
That's fantastic.
I'm not going to lie. If you asked me, because I'm looking here at the photos, so there's a bunch of guns, obviously, bunch of guns, bunch of drugs. If you told me...
That's what they seized.
Yeah, that's what they seized. Yeah. But you know it's there. If I, you had to say, which would you rather do? Go wander around Saturday Market... Right, and the various things that you can buy there. Or I can wander around the Sunday market, and I'm not saying I'm going to buy anything.
But you can just check it
out.
But
I can just check it out. I'm going to the Sunday market.
Sunday, way more interesting.
Way more interesting.
But I don't want to be, I don't want to get arrested, so I'm not going.
I don't either. That's what I'm saying. Well, I can't get, can I get arrested for being at the market? I didn't buy anything.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an option.
Hey, I'm just looking, man.
I'm going to send you to Portland Saturday market.
Yeah.
But you have to take your pants off and get in the...
Get in the fountain?
Get in the fountain with kids.
Yeah.
Or I'll give you your pants, but you got to go run around Sunday market.
Take the Sunday market. I would legitimately be interested in what's happening at the Sunday market. Like, I want to know, is there little individual vendors? And, like, is it the same sort of, like, I'm bartering prices here? Or people being friendly? You know... I feel safe. I don't think anything bad's going to happen to me at the Sunday market. Let's go.
I love our listeners. We've already got somebody who's been there. He's like, oh, it's great. Yeah, he said, I picked up some weed, some mushrooms. Didn't even realize they had other drugs there.
Yeah.
Had some edible cotton candy. Great stuff.
Hey, what's he?
Two thumbs up.
I like where
cotton
we're going with
gross.
This. I'm cotton. Kind of upset that I wasn't aware of where this Sunday market was at. And now I can't go because it's been shut down. It's like when that guy over off of Burnside opened up the mushroom house. He literally opened a mushroom business, like, right down the road from, like the soccer stadium. And he was like, what, huh? And then the cops, like, 3 days later showed up and were like, yeah, you can't do that. We're going to arrest you now.
So neighbors who did not want to be interviewed or identified told KGW that traffic would take over the normally quiet gravel street during these events. And they weren't entirely sure what was happening on the property. They didn't know.
I love everything about this.
So this past Sunday, investigators seized the drugs and arrested Olson. That morning, they also executed a search warrant in his home. He lives in Boring and recovered, that's what the photo you're looking at, guns, pistols, revolvers, rifles, ammo.
Sorry, Kevin. Not allowed to do that.
Also, both locations have active illegal marijuana growing operations. He has 973 marijuana plants.
That's a lot of plants.
So they got the guy. Mm. So now there is an opening
for a drug market.
For a drug market leader.
Look, all I know
about... They'll be taking your application.
I know one thing about drugs, or anything illegal.
They're bad.
Clearly. Okay. Don't ever do that. But when you take one away and it creates a vacuum, something else will fill that hole.
Well, I mean, those people got to get their drugs somewhere.
Exactly.
Maybe. So where will it be? Maybe Saturday Market.
Well, it's in Gresham. We just...
This one was, yeah.
Yeah, this one's in Gresham. Just maybe Wood Village, you know? Just hop over there. Maybe the fine folks of Sandy. I don't know. It's got to be someplace rural, I'm guessing, right?
What if they set it up at the top of Multnomah Falls?
Ooh, you got to hike up there?
Yeah. Make you work to get your drugs.
My gal did suggest, because it's supposed to be nice this weekend, we go on a hike. I'm like, oh, don't worry. Where are we going? I got a place. Just bring cash.
What is all this?
Just bring cash and head on up there.
Okay, up next. Well, we had another flight. So if you were on a flight this morning on Alaska to go to Vegas, you turned around and came back to Portland.
Oh, boy.
We'll tell you why next on The Fan. All right, this is In the News, April 2nd, the day after April Fool's Day.
I do like that a lot of our listeners were aware and have participated in the Sunday drug
party. Yeah, they love it. They're like, oh, it's great.
Yeah, I said about 20 vendors there. He said
one-stop shop.
Everything but opiates.
So if you were on a flight to Vegas this morning on Alaska, you had to turn around and come back to Portland.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, that's not a good flight to turn around once you're in the air.
You're all excited about going to Vegas, and it's a short flight, and
next thing you know, you're like, that's not Vegas.
No, it is not.
That's not the New York, New York.
No. Why did we turn around? Is there a kerfuffle? Did someone poo? Door fall off?
Well, later I have a story about a woman who, this was not a Portland to Vegas, Alaska flight, but a woman who was projectile vomited upon on the plane. But that'll be later.
Okay. That's not this.
No, this was fumes, which is almost not even like...
Fumes?
It's kind of boring. Well, they just smelt fumes.
And that's it? You turned around?
Yeah, so there's so much wild stuff that happens on flights now that we read about, that fumes is kind of a boring story.
Although, if I smelt like burning wire...
That's what they smell.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
In the cockpit.
Ooh.
And so the guy was like, I'm going back to Portland.
How long into the flight?
Just minutes after takeoff.
All right. So you're not that upset.
And then the passengers said that they smelt it too.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And so they were like, we're going home.
I don't know of all the smells that happen on an airplane, but I'm guessing an electrical fire is probably high on the list of things you don't want to smell.
The aircraft landed safely. There was no fire or ongoing safety threat, but Portland fire crews made medical evaluation services available to crew and passengers.
So what was
this? Oh, you know, somebody was like,
it's the big one.
I got a headache.
Well, do we know what?
No, they don't
know. Was someone wearing electrical fire perfume? Is that?
They don't know.
Huh. So just everyone smelled a random electrical fire nothing.
They detected a strong odor, but they don't know what it is.
I'll tell you what, that plane better not have just like, you're fine, get back up and then
don't worry about it.
Maybe take that one out of rotation.
Yeah, they did. They put him on another flight, sent him down to Vegas. All right. So again, not a very exciting story, but that is kind of weird.
A little scary though.
Yeah.
Well, imagine you're sitting on an airplane, right? You're getting ready to you're warming up the old crap's hand there. Got a taste of that pie gal maybe. Next thing you know, you smell an electrical fire and then they tell you that they're turning the plane around.
Okay, but
that's a pucker factor of 12.
But here's the question. Let's say you are halfway there.
Yeah.
Over halfway there.
Keep going.
Let's get to Vegas.
Well, actually, I would say land immediately.
Well, what if there's no other airport?
Well, I'm guessing there has to be an airport.
Oh, they're all on fire.
Then fine. Keep going. But I'll tell you what I'm not willing to push my way through is the electrical fire on an airplane.
You're exactly at the midway point of the flight. All of a sudden, you smell that.
Sure. Keep going.
Let's just get to Vegas. They'll deal with it. Do they have fire department
in Vegas?
They have
fire department.
Thank you.
I'm willing to guess, though, between here. I'm looking to see what would be the nearest.
Like, well, it depends on your route.
Yeah.
But you could probably drop down in halfway. What would be halfway? Maybe.
Is that like a Salt Lake sort of thing? I don't
think you go that far over, do you?
Oh, I'm trying to see. I'm gonna,
San Jose.
I'm going to look up on the map where we go from there.
Lodi? Where's Lodi?
You don't want to be in Lodi.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what.
It's a pretty desolate
out looking there. Here at the flight path, and it's...
land on Crater Lake?
Well, you could land in Bend.
Okay.
Outside of Bend.
I don't think you could land in Bend, could you?
Why not? They got an airport.
It's not a... Well, they do, but I don't think you can land all planes. Can you land...
I don't think so.
I don't think you can land all planes.
The big planes, I don't think you can land.
You'd probably hook a lefty, and you're going to Boise. Yeah. You're taking the wild hooker. You're going to get down. You're going to take a left. I think you're going to Boise.
Fresno?
Nah, Fresno again. It looks like... I'm looking at the actual flight path that they take.
Can we land on Lake Tahoe?
Hey, you just put me down in Tahoe. Eureka seems like a lovely time. So maybe just let me off there and we'll call it good.
And finally, the Portland WNBA expansion franchise has hired a team president.
Oh.
And I only tell you this because her name is Inky.
Inky?
That's her name.
Is that her actual name or is that like oil can boy? Inky.
Inky Sun. S-O-N.
Hmm.
It's her first... She is their first employee.
Oh, all right. Yeah. When do they...
Inky.
Is it next year or 2 years from now?
I don't know.
Because we don't have a team name or anything yet.
She's from South Korea. She was the chief administrative officer for the NBA Players Association.
Oh. Huh. Hey.
She was in the fashion industry before that, and her name's Inky.
I'll say this. Excited for the WNBA for the city of Portland. It's great. Hopefully we support it. Me personally, two thumbs. Meh. I'm
all right. I think it's next year.
Okay.
It says.
Go Portland. Whatever.
I think the WNBA draft is coming up next week.
Is it really?
I think it is. Don't ask me how I know that.
How do you know that?
Because I'm a sports guy.
You don't know.
Big sports guy.
You have no idea.
Although I think it's next week.
I saw that Notre Dame player that was supposed to be the number two pick. Behind Paige Beckers, she's coming back.
She's in the portal, I think.
Yeah, she's in the portal. She wants to get paid.
She's going to get paid more than... look at you. Monday, April 14th.
Yeah, next week.
No, it'd be...
Right?
Week after that.
Oh, 12
but
days.
You were close.
Yeah. Week and a half.
That's a hell of a thing that you knew.
That's right.
When the WNBA draft was.
I'm on it, guys.
Yeah.
I'm on it for you
guys. I looked
guys.
Up key dates Caitlin for the Clark 2025 WNBA season.
So when Portland... Will there be an expansion draft, or...?
Yes. So they protect... like, the Valkyries just had that with Golden State, their new team. So, yeah, each team gets to protect so many players, and you get to pick from that. And
they got Kate Martin.
Don't know who that is.
Who's that?
She played at Iowa with Caitlin Clark. It was on the Aces.
Will dialed into the WNBA.
I'm well aware of
he's on it.
What's going on.
What if they drafted Sue Bird? Would she have to come play then?
I think that'd be might be a poor choice. Isn't she like 40 years old?
I saw her this morning. She was on Good Morning America or one of those stupid shows.
Yeah.
CBS Good Mornings.
Oh, God. She's 44.
She looks great. Her and she's with
Megan Rapinoe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Rapinoe.
I believe it's Rapinoe.
Are you a sports guy?
Yeah, it is. It's Megan Rapinoe. She's the winner.
But not last, winner of the Golden Boot, the tournament's top scorer, and the Golden Ball, the best player, Megan Rapinoe.
Sorry. Megan Rapinoe it is.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah. Winner of the Golden Boot of the tournament.
All right.
Why was she on Good Morning America?
I don't know. I didn't care to listen to what they had to say. But
you big jerk.
They were on there. That is in the news April 2, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. The Mariners, did they win today? You're going to find out. And we've got some other cool stuff to tell you about.
I like cool stuff.
So stick around on The Fan.